Thank you for that beautiful song. Well, tonight you're going to be able to hear part two of the two-part presentation that our brother Don started this morning. And I hope and pray that you've come and with your notes and your hearts and your prayers to consider the words in which our brother Don would speak to us tonight. So I will turn the podium over to our brother, Apostle Don McIndoe.
Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful song. Beautiful words, harmony. I couldn't stand to sit up here behind you. I can't hear anything when I'm behind it. I had to get out there. What a wonderful song. As I mentioned this morning, I felt after I had prepared the sermon about the will of the Father, that it really wasn't complete, that there were things we needed to know, just as our Lord and Savior had to walk a certain road by himself. Each of us have a road that we must walk. We can't escape it. Things that will be coming in our lives, purposes that the Lord has in our life. And I hope each one of you are well aware of the fact that the Lord has touched your life, brought you to an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he has a purpose for your life. One of our great challenges is to find that purpose. In prayer and thought, study. But we live in the last era of time. And we're going to have events unfold before us that will touch our lives. Perhaps our nation, our people, our lives individually. And one of our great responsibilities is to be prepared. And so I have made a list of eight primary important events that I feel represent the will of the Father in this last era of time. I'm going to try to make them somewhat sequential. I think they are somewhat sequential. But to study about them, they're scattered all over through the Scriptures. I have a lot of little scriptures to read, short ones, a few long ones. But I would like to set before you these eight events that I feel have been revealed to the children of men because it was the will of God. And I primarily am going to be reading from the Book of Mormon. And of course, as you know, well know, most of this part of the Book of Mormon that I am reading, many of the scriptures were given hundreds of years before Christ's birth. And many of them, speaking to these people that live years before the birth of Christ, to the last epoch of mankind's history. But I know that from the very beginning, the Father knew this book would come to us in the latter day. That's why all these things are revealed for our benefit. So the first of the events is something that has happened, and yet I would like to read about it. I'm going to read in 1 Nephi chapter 3, found on page 37. The passage that I'm going to read, something given, revelation given to Nephi hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ was born, that relates to our day and relates to us. And if so, in chapter 3, I'm going to read beginning with verse 183. It says this, "And after that the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the more precious, most plain and most precious parts of his gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb. Wherefore I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, saith the Lamb, insomuch that I will bring them forth. I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after that thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindled in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and the power of the Lamb. The gospel in its fullness and its beauty will be restored in the latter day, that we might have an understanding of the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that had been, many parts of it had been distorted, parts of it had been eliminated from the Holy Scriptures that were translated. Parts of us down through the centuries have been minimized. Some things have been maximized that have no importance at all. But to us has come the fullness of the gospel, that we might be prepared and understand. Step number two, or part number two, the Gentiles have then a great responsibility to the descendants of the tribe of Joseph upon this land, to the remnant of Joseph that he has remained upon this land through the centuries. Again, now I'm going to read from the words of Christ in 3 Nephi chapter 9. 3 Nephi chapter 9. It's found on page 662. I'm going to begin reading with verse 86. And this is an explanation of the responsibility that will fall upon the Gentile people, speaking of you and me, people like us in the latter day. Verse 86, "And verily I say unto you, I give unto you a sign, that you may know the time when these things shall be about to take place, that I shall gather in from their long dispersion my people, O house of Israel, and shall establish again among them my Zion. And behold, this is the thing which I give unto you for a sign. For verily I say unto you that when these things which I declare unto you, which I shall declare unto you hereafter of myself, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, which shall be given unto you of the Father, shall be made known unto the Gentiles, that they may know concerning this people, which are a remnant of the house of Jacob, and concerning this my gospel, my people, which shall be scattered by them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when these things shall be made known unto them of the Father, and shall come forth of the Father from them unto you, for it is wisdom in the Father that they should be established in this land, and set up as a free people by the power of the Father, and these things might come forth from them unto the remnant of your seed, that the covenant of the Father may be fulfilled, which he hath covenanted with his people, O house of Israel. Therefore, when these works, and the work which shall be wrought among you hereafter, shall come forth from the Gentiles unto your seed, which shall dwindle in unbelief." I'm going to stop there, but as we read on a few more verses, this is the sign. This is a sign of something that will take place yet in the future. Now, this is the thing that I'm saying that has come, the will of God, that this gospel has come to us with this responsibility added to it, that it be taken back to the descendants of Joseph upon this land. Now, some people go to great lengths and say, well, that includes all the American Indian people. I don't necessarily think that's true. It is true of people who are descendants of those people of Joseph that once lived upon this land. People who, in whose traditions and in whose oral and written traditions and carvings that they have left, we can find new something of the law of God Almighty to the house of Israel. They knew something of their Hebraic roots. These are descendants of Joseph, and this gospel is to go back unto them. Let's turn over to chapter 10 and read verse 30. That's found down at the bottom of page 666. Ooh, what a nasty page. Verse 30. Therefore give heed to my words and write the things which I have told you, and according to the time and the will of the Father, they shall go forth unto the Gentiles. And whosoever will hearken unto my words and repenteth and baptized, the same shall be saved. According to the will of the Father, this will come forth to us. Well, we realize these things are past. We have this record in our hand. But there is still the great responsibility. That responsibility is to carry that gospel back to the remnant of Joseph upon this land. I'd like to read verse 4 in this same chapter 10. 4 and 5. Page 664. Then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in their midst. And then shall the work of the Father commence at that day, even when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. Verily I say unto you, at that day shall the work of the Father commence among all the dispersed of my people, yea, even the tribes which have been lost, which the Father hath led away out of Jerusalem. First, it was to go back to the remnant of Joseph. That has taken place. I know that there are others, but the Mayan people are a remnant of Joseph. This gospel has gone back to them. They have received it and accepted it, and the work is growing among them, and perhaps among others who are the lost sheep of Israel that we know not about. But this is a sign of something even greater that shall take place. It shall go to all the remnant of Israel. You know, this thing's, well, you remember what we read this morning in Revelation chapter 14? It said, an angel flew through the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to every kindred, tongue, and people. We've made just a tiny little beginning. 50 years ago, a little more than 50 years ago, the gospel went back to the remnant of the house of Joseph. And nothing further took place. Year after year after year, we gathered together in that building on the temple lot, thinking about the great work that lay before us, and nothing much was happening. Why not? Now, what's happened in the last 10 years? What work began in the year 2000? Oh, wonderful. A new millennium opened up. A work opened up in Africa. A work opened up in the Philippines. A work has opened up in nations around the world. What took so long? Well, you know, it's just like what we were talking about before. We have a great responsibility. We receive marvelous blessings and challenges and work of the Lord. But we have a responsibility. And I'll tell you what slowed down the work of the Lord. Why we waited for years. It was our disunity. It was our bickering and quarreling in the Church of Christ. It was magnifying little differences that stood between us, perhaps, in our understanding and our belief. And for year after year after year, we bickered with one another. We talked about one another. The council of the bishopric and the council of the apostles couldn't agree, couldn't work together. I remember the first years that I was in the council of 12. There was nothing that I looked forward to with greater regret than having a meeting with the bishopric. Why? Disunity. And I'm not saying it's them. It was us as well. That's the thing. We put an impediment in front of the work of the Lord. And this is why I say how important it is that we understand what God wants us to do and be about that work. And make every effort that we do not slow it down, we do not hinder it, that we amplify that work. And so this is a thing that is our great responsibility. I'd like to read in 1 Nephi chapter 3 again, back on page 38. Beautiful words of prophecy. Beginning with verse 192. The angel spake unto me, saying, these last records, that's speaking of the Book of Mormon, which thou hast seen among the Gentiles, shall establish the truth of the first, the Holy Bible, which are of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them, and shall make known to all kindreds, tongues, and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father, and the Savior of the world, and all men must come unto Him, or they cannot be saved, and they must come according to the words which have been established in the mouth of the Lamb, according to the words of Jesus Christ. You know, every time I pick up some interesting article about religion, I read an interesting, challenging book about religion, I see men today that are writing and teaching absolutely contrary to the fundamentals that are contained in the Holy Bible, misinterpreting or leaving aside the things in the Bible. And, you know, I know of a surety the Lord looked forward to this day, and He brought forth this book for that very purpose, to establish the words of the Master of Jesus Christ, the words of our Master, our Lord and Savior. Men who are professors of religion in the colleges that teach young ministry to go out into the world and carry the gospel are distorting the words of the Holy Bible because they do not believe nor accept them. And if I go back and I look, they say, this was a mistranslation. This was not translated correctly. And that's why we have these misunderstandings. I go back and I look in the Book of Mormon, and I see that it says exactly what it said in the Holy Bible. These men are mistranslating, misinterpreting. They're changing the precious word of Jesus Christ. And for that reason, the Lord has placed this beautiful book in our hands that we might know the truth, that we might not fall into deception. Now, the fourth thing that's going to have to take place is that the scattered peoples of Israel are going to learn about their Redeemer. I'd like to read in 3 Nephi chapter 7. Found on page 645. I'd like to begin reading with verse 24. This is Jesus speaking to the people on this land many years ago. And He said, verily, verily, I say unto you that I have other sheep which are not of this land, neither the land of Jerusalem, neither in any parts of that land round about, whither I have been to minister. For they of which I speak are they which have not as yet heard my voice, neither have I at any time manifested myself unto them. But I have received a commandment of the Father that I should go unto them, and they should hear my voice, and they should be numbered among my sheep, that there be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore I go, I show myself unto them. And I command you that ye shall write these sayings, and after I have gone, that it be so that my people at Jerusalem, they which have seen me and been with me in my ministry, do not ask the Father in my name, that they may receive a knowledge of you by the Holy Ghost, and also of the other tribes of which they know not. This is one of our great responsibilities, to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why did that angel say to be to be preached in all the world to every tongue and nation and people, because just as the Lord revealed to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 4, the house of Israel will be scattered among every nation upon the earth. In the last days, the house of Israel, not recognizable as the house of Israel. So, and here's another responsibility. We have so many people in the Christian world, so many ministers in the Christian world believe that every prophecy that relates to Israel relates to the Jewish people. No, when the Lord said, "My people Israel will hear the word of God and be gathered together again," He meant those scattered people of which we know not. So we have things to pray about. We have a great work to do. And that's why our ministry are now in India and now in Nigeria and Kenya and Tanzania, in the Philippines, and why we will be sent to other places as the Lord desires. We need to be praying for an understanding of the will of the Father, that He would reveal Himself unto us in this latter day, showing us where He would have us go, what He would have us to do, to whom He would have us witness. And all of us living here in America have people from every nation in the world around about us. And it is our responsibility to minister to them. Not just that good news of the gospel that we read about in the New Testament, but all of the will of the Father, including this precious book that has come to us in this latter day. And so the scattered people of Israel are going to learn of their Redeemer. And the fifth thing that is going to happen in this latter day, and it lies ahead of us, and it's something that we don't completely understand, and we need guidance, and we need direction, and that is that the Father will gather His people Israel together again. Let's read in verse in 3 Nephi chapter 7 on page 645, where we were reading, one more verse, verse 29. After they have been brought to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, after they have received a knowledge of Jesus Christ and accepted Him, then in verse 29 it says, "And then will I gather them in from the four quarters of the earth. Then will I fulfill the covenant which my Father hath made unto all the people of the house of Israel." This is the will of the Father, that His people hear the gospel, then be gathered together again. Well, five things that we have mentioned. We have three more to take place. The next one, I guess I'm going to read quite a few scriptures about it. I read to you this morning the words of Jesus as He spoke to His people in His hometown of Nazareth about the mission the Lord had called Him to. We know that they came from the 61st chapter of Isaiah. And when we pick up the book of Isaiah and read in chapter 61, we find those same things that Jesus told the people in Nazareth. Plus, He added there, it was given to Isaiah to say a portion of his mission is to preach the day of vengeance of the Lord, the wrath of the Lord falling upon the people of disobedience. Well, We also read this chapter 14 in the book of Revelation about the angel that was seen flying through the midst of heaven. But I'd like to read the verse following that, because a lot of times when I used to hear that as a young man, that verse 6 about the angel flying through the midst of heaven, it never went any farther than verse 6. But verse 7 continues, "This saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come." This is a portion, a difficult portion for us to understand, for which we should be prepared, and for which we should try to educate other people about. There is an hour, a time of judgment falling upon the earth. As Brian told you in our study that we did about the emerging church, that's an unpopular concept, the concept of the wrath and the judgment of God. One of these leaders in this Christian movement says, is Brian McLaren, in his book, Everything Must Change, writes this: the understanding of a violent second coming leads us to believe even God finds it impossible to fix the word apart from violence and coercion. And they don't accept it. They don't accept it. They don't believe that there is any such thing as an hour of judgment. But you know, we must remember that God has given to mankind His free agency. We can choose life or death. We can choose blessing or cursing. Man has that free agency. We can reject the promises of God Almighty, but we will have to come face to face with the results of rejecting that. I give greater attention to the words of the Apostle Paul than I would to the words of Brian McLaren. I give greater attention to the words of the Holy Gospel. I'd like to read a few verses in 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians, chapter 1. I'm going to read 9 verses here. Paul and Silvanus, Timotheus, unto the church of Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for our patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Well, I'm going to place a little more confidence in the writings of the Apostle Paul than I am the writings of McLaren or any other contemporary author today that wants to say that there is no such thing, there will be no such thing in God's plan. Now hear what Mormon had to say about this latter-day work. And I'm reading from Mormon, the Book of Mormon, in chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Mormon. It's found on page 706. I'm going to read 2 verses. Down toward the bottom of page 706, verse 25 and 26. Behold what the Scripture saith: man shall not smite, neither shall he judge, for judgment is mine, saith the Lord, and vengeance is mine also, and I will repay. And he that shall breathe out wrath and strife against the work of the Lord, and against the covenant people of the Lord, which are of the house of Israel, and shall say, we will destroy the work of the Lord, and the Lord will not remember His covenant which He hath made unto the house of Israel, the same is in danger to be hewn down and cast into the fire. For the eternal purposes of the Lord shall roll on until all His promises shall be fulfilled. Those who fight against the work of the Lord, those who fight against, wherever land that may be, the workings of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the ministry that are teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who rise up and oppose them, those who oppose Israel, like that wonderful president of Iran who spoke to the United Nations a few days ago and claimed, like so many other people, a conspiracy theory that it was our own government that destroyed New York City in 2001 and has spoken against the people of Israel that they will be destroyed. And I remember how well I remember the time when these nations, these Arab nations around Israel, all gathered together in great unity to destroy Israel and to wipe it off the face of the map. And they proclaimed in loud voice and publicly, the blood of Israelites will turn the Mediterranean red. And they were assembling their troops on every frontier of Israel at that time. And what happened? Immediately, before any move could be made against Israel, Iran and Iraq got into a war with one another and killed 18 million of each other. And not one Israelite died. These are the kinds of things that have been going on and they're still going on, and those nations are still there, assembled against Israel, speaking out against her, gathering their armies against her, and endeavoring to indoctrinate the world against Israel and be careful of every political movement that would turn the United States of America against Israel. Because we know the prophecies. Woe be to any nation that is opposing to his people Israel. And we need to be careful that our nation takes no opposition to the nation of Israel. And so this is the kind of, this is the life that we're living. This is the time that we're living in. I want to turn to 1 Nephi chapter 7. 1 Nephi 7. Found on page 41. No, found on page 74. I'd like to read a few verses here. 26 through 33. And the blood of that great and abominable church, which is the whore of all the earth, shall turn upon their own heads. For they shall war among themselves, and the sword of their own hand shall fall upon their own heads, and they shall be drunken with their own blood. And every nation which shall war against thee, O house of Israel, shall be turned one against another. Now, this is what I mentioned this morning, is the permissive will of God. When it talks about the vengeance of God falling upon these people who are enemies of Israel, enemies of the gospel, enemies of the work of the Lord, it doesn't mean that God himself is going to rise up in anger. He wants his people to be saved, all mankind to be saved. But he's going to permit them, in the hardness of their hearts and their stubbornness and their political enterprises, to bring destruction upon one another. That's what's happening and going to happen in the world today. For they shall war among themselves, and the sword of their own hand shall fall upon their own heads, and they shall be drunken with their own blood. And every nation, oh, I read that, verse 30, and all which fight against Zion shall be destroyed. And that great whore which perverted the right ways of the Lord, yea, that great and abominable church shall tumble to the dust, and great shall be the fall of it. Remember what we already read, that they're going to fight among themselves. It isn't God's hand that's going to do it, but their stubbornness and their rejection of truth is going to bring them into conflict one with another and bring about their own destruction. This is the permissive will of God Almighty. I hope that we can see that these judgments that are going to fall upon the face of the earth are not from a God that hates humanity. He loves humanity. It's his creation. He wants to save all mankind. That is his perfect will. But he does permit us to reject him. He permits us to turn in our own way, walk in our own ways, and bring destruction upon ourselves. It's interesting to me that in some way, that fact number five, the gathering of Israel, is going to be tied to this day of vengeance that we have been reading about. Somehow or other, and I don't know, and we need to pray about it. We need to be thinking about it. We need to be prepared. We need to be looking for these things. Some way or other, this vengeance and judgment that falls upon the nations of the world is going to bring about the gathering of God's people. Let's read in 1 Nephi chapter 3 again, on page 41 this time. The end of a beautiful prophecy, speaking about the church in the latter day. I really feel like it's speaking about the times that lie just ahead of us. I'm going to read verse 230 and 231. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord, which were scattered upon all the face of the earth. The reason for that, in the verse before, we read how the great and abominable church was going to be gathered together to fight against the church of the Lamb of God, the church of Christ. The churches of this world, the Christian churches of the world, let alone the pagans and the Muslims, are fighting against the work of the Lord in this latter day. But this great, beautiful promise has been given to us, and they are armed with righteousness and with the power of God in great glory. Verse 232, and it came to pass that I beheld that the wrath of God was poured out upon the great and abominable church, insomuch that there were wars and rumors of wars among all the nations and kindreds of the earth. And there began to be wars and rumors of wars among all the nations which belonged to the mother of abominations. The angel spoke unto me, saying, behold, the wrath of God is upon the mother of harlots. And behold, thou seest all these things. And when the day cometh that the wrath of God is poured out upon the mother of harlots, which is the great and abominable church, whose founder is the devil, then at that day the work of the Father shall commence in preparing the way for the fulfilling of his covenants which he hath made to his people, which are of the house of Israel. This is our day. This is our day. We're looking at the days that you young people are going to see unfolding before you. I'm seeing them begin to unfold even now in my old age. I'd like to read something else that's going to come to pass. It's in the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 39 of Ezekiel. I'm just going to read the first six verses in chapter 39. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts. Come up from the north parts. And also many people today want to say, oh, we're talking about Russia and China. No, we're not. We're talking about biblical language. And the north parts were the parts that surrounded to the north of Israel and Babylonia and Persia, where the Assyrians lived and where the house of Israel was scattered. This was the north parts in biblical terms of the Old Testament. And will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of the left hand and will cause thine arrows to fall out of my right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and I will send a fire on Magog and upon them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Peoples are going to come from the north area. And we're talking about the peoples that were and have been enemies of Israel from the beginnings. We're talking about those nations around the Black Sea and in the Caucasus Mountains. And every one of those nations today is a Muslim nation. And they're going to be coming toward Israel out of the north. And they're going to... And it's going to be that great and final day of Armageddon. You know, I have a testimony, and I know it's not everybody's, but it's certainly mine, about the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. And I can never forget the year 2001. I can never forget that moment, that day. That particular day when Jay and I were in our room in a hotel in Honduras, preparing for the day, studying for our lessons, and a knock came at the door. Brother Tommy Gill was there, and he said, "You need to come down to the lobby of the hotel and look at the television." And there we saw the destruction. Of that city of New York, attempted destruction of Washington, D.C. I remember one sight that I can never put out of my mind. And I guess maybe I can't put it out of my mind because of what happened as I was watching it. I remember the sight of one photo close-up of the tower above the blaze, above the spot where the bomber crashed. And the people were trapped. And the fire was burning up around them. And one man leaped out of the window. And he was falling. And it just seemed like he fell forever, turning through space as he was falling, and the camera followed him down. And I shut my eyes to block out the view, and I heard the words, Revelation chapter 16, verse 12. And I couldn't stay another second there watching TV until I went and got my Bible and looked at Revelation 16 and 12. And it said, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. The river Euphrates has always been the symbol of the river that divided the Christian world and the Muslim world. Fell upon the vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. You know, as I read that, and the experience that I had, in my own mind, I am sure that we are living in the days of Revelation chapter 16. Toward the end of Revelation chapter 16, that reading goes on down to verse 15 or 14. That's where we are. There is no other chapter of future events. Chapter 16 is it. Read verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together at a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." That is the end man's history. All in the book of Revelation that lies on beyond that is merely explanation and addition to what has transpired and the millennium that lies ahead of us. I believe we are close to that day that Ezekiel saw. I believe we're close to that day that John was given to see. I believe we're close to that day that all of these prophets talked about, when the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the enemies of Israel and the enemies of the work of Jesus Christ. You are called to participate in that great work of Jesus Christ in the latter day, the preaching of this gospel in all the world. And you will have opposition. There will be enemies that rise up against you. And the threat may grow worse and worse. Israel has opposition and enemies that want to destroy them. And we are among those people who, those that hate Israel, hate us as well because we have supported her. And they want to destroy the Christian work. And never, you know, whatever is said by people who live peacefully in this nation, I'm all for it. I like to hear it. I hope they have changed their thoughts. but back in their homelands, their family members and their people are living for the day of Israel's destruction and the day when Islam shall be taught in all the world and Islamic law will become the law of every nation in the world. That is their goal, just as our goal is the coming of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to have opposition. We're going to meet difficulties and problems in this world. Well, I'm going to go on now to the seventh of these things. There shall be a new Jerusalem built up upon the face of this land, something that lies in the future. I'd like to read the words of Jesus in 3 Nephi. Again in chapter 9 and 10, beginning chapter 9. Found on page 659. I'm going to read verses 56. I'll read verse 56 and then continue. And it shall come to pass, saith the Father, that the sword of my justice shall hang over them, the Gentiles, and except they repent, it shall fall upon them, saith the Father, yea, even upon all the nations of the Gentiles. And it shall come to pass that I will establish my people, O house of Israel. And behold, this people will I establish in this land, under the fulfilling of the covenant which I have made with your father Jacob, and it shall be a new Jerusalem. And the powers of heaven shall be in the midst of this people. Yea, even I will be in the midst of you. This is something that we can look forward to if we are found striving for fulfilling the will of the Father. This is what we are called to have part in. And I'd like to read over in chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. But if they will repent, the Gentiles, and hearken unto my words and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in unto the covenant and be numbered among this the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance. And they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and also as many of the house of Israel as shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. And then shall they assist my people that they may be gathered in, which are scattered upon all the face of the land, in unto the New Jerusalem. Now, I don't understand everything about that prophecy, but I pray about it. And I pray for greater understanding. And I pray that we will have a part in that. Oh, I pray that when that day of wrath and judgment falls upon the nations of the world, that new Jerusalem will be in place, and God's people will have her place within it. What a wonderful blessing that would be. My hope and prayer is that this would be the perfect will of the Father, that those true believers and those who are striving to fulfill the will of Jesus Christ and purpose of Jesus Christ in this latter day to preach the gospel in all the world, to gather His people, Israel, together once again, that they will be at home in the New Jerusalem when these tumultuous things will take place. I'd like to go now to 3 Nephi, to the final thing that is going to take place in the future. Sometime after the New Jerusalem, there's going to come a resurrection and an eternal judgment. And again, I'm going to read the words of Jesus Christ here in the Book of Mormon, chapter 12, starting with verse 22. I hope you like long readings because this is a long one. Beginning with chapter 22, these are the words of Christ. And if it so be that the church, this church, is built upon my gospel, then will the Father show forth his own works in it. But if it be not built upon my gospel and is built upon the works of men or upon the works of the devil, verily I say unto you, they shall have their joy and their works for a season, and by and by the end cometh, and they are hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence there is no return. For the works do follow them, for it is because of their works that they are hewn down. Therefore, remember the things which I have told you. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into this world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. My Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after that I had been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. Completely in harmony with the revelation of Jesus Christ to John the Apostle, when he spoke of the latter day and that which will follow the first the millennium, when the righteous are resurrected, and after that there will come a second resurrection, and all mankind will stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ to be judged of their works. Verse 29, and it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not to the end, the same as he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given. And he lieth not, but fulfilled all his words. And no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore, nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith, and the repentance of all their sins, and their faithfulness unto the end. Now this is the commandment. Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and be baptized in my name, that if ye be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that you may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel. And ye know the things that you must do in my church, for the works that you have seen me do, that shall ye also do. And for that which you have seen me do, even shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. God has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He's spoken to us through the prophets. They're not all easy to understand. We need to be prayerful. We need to be studious. We need to be prayerful. We need to be looking forward to the fulfillment of God's will and recognizing the fact that things are taking place even now according to this that we have read tonight, and that we're well along the way toward that last time when the judgment of God Almighty will fall, be brought upon those who have rebelled against him and against his people and against his work. And we need to be ready that when that new Jerusalem is established, we may have part in it. We need to pray for understanding, that we not be confused and mixed up and have differences of opinion, but the Lord would reveal unto us as a people and as a church what it is that he will have take place and how it shall be accomplished, that we might have part in it. Well, God bless you to that effort. May we all be found endeavoring to fulfill the will, the work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless.